I am so thankful this morning for God's visitation in my life and for the little message that He's given me today. And I ask your prayers that the things that the Lord has put in my heart, I'll be able to put them concisely and briefly, and we could have a good study in His Word. We've been reading in the book of Hosea at home, and I was just kind of reading a little ahead of our family reading, and some things have really impressed me and echoed the burden that has been on my heart, given it words. I want to share those words with you, and we'll start here, but this is just kind of a beginning. Hosea chapter 4 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That's quite a thought, isn't it? He's calling them into, how would you say it? He's summoning them to answer him, and he has a problem. I've got a problem with you. If you had people that you worked with, and you were the general contractor, and you had all these contractors, I'm just speaking of my husband's line of work, and they were all doing everything wrong. That's what you would say, wouldn't you? I've got some things to talk to you about. I've got something, there's something that you're doing that's wrong. We need to settle this. So he said, the Lord has a controversy with you because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I just can hear the Lord saying that today to America. America, what nation this is, who was founded on godly principles and actually established, people came over here with the intention of worshiping God as they felt God wanted them to, and set up laws and ask His help and set up laws to after the order of His law. And these things have been in place, and God has blessed this nation, and there have been missionaries and people from this nation that have gone out into other nations, and it seemed like it was a beacon of light to the whole world, and morality and a good standard of living was the norm for so many years. And then to see how things have changed and degraded so rapidly in the last 100 years, it surely has been grievous, and I'm sure God's heart is grieved as well. And not just the people of the land who are not believers, but I'm thinking that God is calling to the people of this land who do profess Christianity, who say that they believe God and that they know God and actually say that they love God and worship God. He has a controversy with our land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And I'm not saying that that there is absolutely none. We were speaking this morning and Dan said there is. But there are praying people and people who do love the Lord. And that is actually the salvation of this land. If there were not those people, I'm sure that the judgments would come sooner. But he says here, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. I just was considering those verses this week and looking at them and thinking again of our message Sunday, last Sunday, of God's desire for truth in the inward parts. He's looking down, and here in this verse, He's looking down upon a whole land, and He's wanting truth. That's one of the first thing that He says. There's no truth. There's no honesty. I'm looking for honesty. The Lord's always been looking down, and scripture after scripture we could go to. For instance, Psalm 11. Look at here. We could go to Genesis. We could touch about Noah and about Abraham, which we'll mention them. But let's look at this one. Psalm 11. The Lord's temple. Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. Verse 7. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. He's looking down. He's trying the hearts. He desires truth. I just want to see honesty. I just want to see a man who will own up to his deeds, who will come to me and call upon me when he's wrong, acknowledge that he's wrong, and seek to do better. That's what he's saying here. It doesn't really mean that he's looking for every person that's walking perfectly, what we would consider righteous and always doing what the thing that is right. But he's looking for a person who wants to do right. He's looking for a person who, when he's wrong, will acknowledge and say, I need help and I want to do better. That's what he's looking for too. Someone who wants to work righteousness. We know that he has concluded in the word that there's none righteous. They have all gone astray. They're all out of the way. So he knows that. So he's looking for people who want to do right, who want to be saved, who want to please him. Maybe they're so caught in sin and sorrow that they don't know how to get out. But his eyes still look down and see. And you know, I really believe that anyone, and there's a scripture that says that too, anyone who really seeks after righteousness, God knows that one. And he will go to them and he will begin to lead them and help them. In Genesis 6, we read about Noah. And it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole earth was violent. He was the only one, evidently, that was seeking after righteousness. In verse 9, it says Noah was a just man. That word just means righteous. He was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. That word perfect is complete and sound, blameless. That's the way he was. And he walked with God. The earth was corrupt before God, verse 11. And the earth was filled with violence. But this man, he sought after and he obtained favor from God. Why? Because he sought to walk righteously before God. God is looking for righteousness. He's never stopped looking for righteousness. And if we would be his people, we must be seekers after righteousness. Abraham, he looked down upon the earth and he found Abraham. And in the midst of great idol worship, a deterioration of God's worship that had been there since the time of Noah, here all of these people, generations had passed, and here's one man again that still believes in God. And he not only believed in God, but he believed God. You know, you understand the difference? What God told him, he believed, and he proved that belief by what he did. God said, get up and get out of this land, and you go to a land that I'll show you later about, but I just want you to start moving right now. He did that. By faith, Hebrews 11 says, Abraham sojourned in a land of promise. He proved his seeking after righteousness by what he did. He, in the book of James, it says that it was fulfilled. Let's see. How does that go? He not only just believed God, but he acted on it. And that that obedience made his faith perfect. That's what James says. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham believed God, and that faith in God and that desire to please and obey God was counted to him for righteousness. The apostles later, in presenting the gospel to the nations, used that over and over. They said, it's been proven. The law didn't make anyone righteous. The law only showed men how sinful and wicked that they were. But now Christ has come. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every person who believes. And if we'll believe in him and obey and serve him, he'll put his righteousness in us. And so man's search for righteousness is completed in Christ and Christ only. So now God's looking down for those who he's still looking down for righteousness. But he's wanting a righteousness that's in Christ. I was thinking of that also. In Matthew, he talks about righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount. And it kind of qualifies what kind of righteousness God is looking for. In verse 20 of chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Okay, well, if God's looking for righteousness, but it's not that righteousness, then I want to know what it is. What righteousness exceeds theirs, and what kind was theirs? Well, let's think about that. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was an outward righteousness. Jesus told him in Matthew 23? He said, you make white the outside. You make clean the outside. But inside, you're full of wickedness. So that kind of righteousness is not what God's looking for. Just an outward righteousness. He's going deeper than that. David said, and we read this last Sunday, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." He wants honesty and righteousness within a man. And I said that I would go to the place in the New Testament where it says that those who work righteousness are accepted of him. That's in the book of Acts. I want to just find that. But we just established that it's not just a righteousness of the outward. It's a righteousness that's inside. Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. Verse 34 says, "Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." That's what it takes for anybody all over this world. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for someone who will be in reverence to him, who will fear him and obey him and desire to work righteousness. That, to me, that's what that means. A person who works righteousness, a person who tries to do what is right. Anywhere in this world, a man who will do that, a woman who will do that, a boy or a girl who will do that. Well, how does that start? I believe in the book of Romans, second chapter, or maybe it's the end of the first chapter, he talks about there are people that don't have any law. They didn't have Moses' law, but they still sin. How can you sin when there's no law? How can you be righteous if you don't have a law to obey? You see, righteousness, it wasn't made by the law in a person's heart. So what kind of righteousness is he talking about? He was saying here, verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers are justified." So a person that didn't have the law given to them, but by their own nature, he says, "For the Gentiles which have not the law, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, these not having a law are a law unto themselves." And it shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing them witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So a person, God's looking for a person who will be honest in their hearts, in their own conscience. A person's conscience that out there that maybe doesn't understand or know anything about the Bible teachings. But he's out there and he feels something that he shouldn't do. And he obeys that. He follows that. That's what it means when he said, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. That person who does that, who feels that compunction in their hearts by their conscience and follows that, God will begin to work with that person. He will do things for that person to bring them into more light and more knowledge. Oh, that would that people today did have conscience that would deal with them. But what the thing is today is that many of the religious teachings have stilled that voice of conscience and made people think, oh, you don't need to feel guilty. You don't need to feel bad about doing that. You just express yourself however you want. And those things have led many people astray. So we have the condition with what he says, swearing and lying and stealing and killing and committing adultery. We have it everywhere. It just is, it's broken out, he said, like an epidemic. We just have dishonesty. And this is the thing that's a burden on my heart, is not only just unbelievers out there, but it's people who talk religion, people who say they love God, and they're just as corrupt and dishonest as the other person. That's what's a disgusting in the eyes of God, and a distress to me, is to see the level of dishonesty in business dealings, widespread. There's hardly a company that you can find that is operating entirely with integrity. In corporate levels, all the way down to the hired help, the janitors. There are people today that just, they live to best the other person, to get away with what they can get away with. This is very sad to me. God is looking down upon our country, and I believe he can say it just like he said there. It's just broken out everywhere. It's just like an epidemic. He's still looking for honesty. He's looking for truth in the inward parts. And think about the level of covetousness and greed that infects our society today. And we were speaking about the medical establishment. What motivates all of these things, when you get right down to it, is greed and corruption. Covetousness. How they can get more money. The whole thing is broken and can't seem to be fixed. And why? Because at the root of it is the love of gain. These are the things that infect our society and have broken out. He still says, though, a person who would seek after righteousness, who would work righteousness. Not only, it's got to exceed outward righteousness, as we read. It's got to be a different kind of righteousness. And what is that? I believe it's Romans chapter 10 speaks about it. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we see there's something different from righteousness that's outward, righteousness that is our own, and God's righteousness. We need to be seeking for God's righteousness. He said that you can't just go by how many people approve of you. What was it that he was talking about the Pharisees? And he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. How can that be? That could be what some people feel is righteousness in their lives. God is still looking down, and it's an abomination to him. it's still filthy to him because it's not the righteousness of God. So we can't judge on, well, is this accepted among so many people? We can't do it that way. We may be like Noah, the only one. And he was a preacher of righteousness, and people scoffed at him and ignored him. We may be that way. It may not be popular at all. In fact, I've become very suspect of things that are really widely accepted, like religious worlds, best-selling books, that kind of thing. I look at it and I think, if it's best-selling, if everybody's going after it, it's got to appeal to the flesh somehow. Something that's very, very spiritual and according to God's word in true righteousness is probably not going to be very popular. So we want to have God's righteousness. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? What can I do to bring God down? What feat can I accomplish to make God approve of me? Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? But what does the righteousness of faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thine mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it that easy? Is that all? That's really where it begins. That's the beginning, is coming to the Lord and confessing that he is the only one who can save you. I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to merit God's grace. That's self-righteousness. That's the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. But this righteousness is a complete dependence upon Christ, and a trust in him, and a resting in him to save me. Tell you what, if we cannot come out of ourselves enough to cry for him to save us, we can't be saved. We must depend on him to rescue us and to save us. That's admitting that we need saved. That's admitting that we need to be rescued, that we are sinful, that we are ignorant and out of the way, and doing missing the mark. We need to admit that before God and call upon him to save us. That's the beginning. Romans chapter 5 says, that it was his obedience that gives us righteousness. So we have to come to Christ alone and trust in his free gift of righteousness, which this is what he says in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Another scripture is over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope we can grasp the truth of these scriptures today. It's been made so precious to my heart, but I'm not able to say it as it is. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. This is all his gift. This is all his sacrifice and his substitution for us. That's our righteousness is in that. That's the only thing. And he goes on and he says, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. We stand in his stead, it says. And we, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Another place is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the very last verses. He talks here about how that the Jews and the Greeks both boasted in their foolishness, and which was actually in their wisdom, which is actually foolishness in God's sight, and their righteousness, which is actually something that God despised. It says in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. So it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ who is our righteousness. Because we have believed in him, we've confessed our need of salvation, we have confessed that he is the only one who can save us, we've called upon him to save us, and he gives us the free gift of his righteousness that goes beyond just following the law, being moral, that goes beyond being looking good on the outside. He puts his righteousness in our hearts. That's the only way that we can live righteously, is to have Jesus Christ within us and to have him be made righteousness unto us. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification or holiness and redemption, that as according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He only is our righteousness. What does the song say? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Nothing, no body of people, nothing is able to help me to be righteous except Jesus. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's see, what's the other song that says, this is all my hope and peace, is it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, having said that, does he leave us in sin then? Because our own righteousness does not avail, and the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees isn't what he wants. So now we can do what we want to do, and we can just sin so that righteousness might more abound in us. Is that what we're saying? No. He is still looking for righteousness. Romans 6 answers that question. What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He answers that question so clearly. God is still looking for righteousness in the heart. It can only be put there by the Lord Jesus Christ and us depending on him continually for our salvation. And that righteousness, he is made righteousness unto us. He puts his laws into our hearts. He causes us to walk in his ways. That's what he said. He promised that to the children of Israel. When they went astray, time after time after time, he said, there's going to come a day that I'll clean you from all your filthiness and from your unrighteousness, and I'll put a new spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's what he will do for us, and that's what he expects. He expects when he has a people called out, separate from this world, he's looking down in our lives for righteousness. And he wants right living, honesty, not just outward honesty, but inward honesty. He wants righteousness of the heart, that which is depending on Christ, but it doesn't change when it gets in us. It doesn't become unrighteousness when it gets in us. Christ is going to be himself when he lives in us. He's going to live purely. He's going to live in gentleness and kindness and mercy to others. He's going to live in us a life of integrity and honesty. What life Christ puts in us is not a life that's like this world. They say, well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He went with the sinners. He didn't change his character when he was with them. He didn't speak their language. He didn't curse and swear. If he condemned it back there, it's still condemned today. And he, inside of us, living his righteousness, is not going to conform to this world. People are having it today. They're twisting it and turning it all around and actually making people who desire to live right look like the bad guys. But the Word of God's still the same. He desires truth in the inward parts. And he's looking down. The righteous Lord loves righteousness. And he has promises. Joseph mentioned the one of all things work together for good to those who love God. There's others. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. What are some of the other verses? There's so many. You start looking. This is what I found. And I didn't write them down. But if you did, you would just have a whole list of the verses that contain this word. God, the righteous Lord, loves righteousness. He loves the righteous. Righteousness is something that he loves, and wickedness is what he hates. And it's still the same. He's looking for it. He expects it. He wants us to live it. Oh, there's so many verses. You just find it everywhere. In God's plan, the end result is righteousness. What is the effect of righteousness? Chapter 30, is it 35 of Isaiah? This is a wonderful, wonderful topic to study. Chapter 32 of Isaiah. The work of righteousness shall be peace. That's what I was speaking of earlier in the song service. Following the Lord and taking his way creates this atmosphere among people. That's why you have people out there. How can you have a loving relationship with someone that you're cheating? You don't love that person. They don't love you. There is no peace in the lifestyles of immorality. How can you love a dear lady out here if you're committing adultery with her husband? You don't love that person. You're hurting that person with the worst hurt that you can hurt a person. That's what's going on today. The effect of righteousness is peace. It's tranquility. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. This is what's happening in people's lives. There's no love, there's no peace, because they're not following the works of righteousness. So that's what we want to seek after today. That's what God has promised through his Spirit. I'm thankful for the true righteousness.